churches in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The churches in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Sports Roundup. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Leo XIV delivered a meditation to some 4,000 seminarians in St. Peter's Basilica on Tuesday morning on the occasion of their Jubilee. The Pope based his meditation on the Sacred Heart of Jesus and priestly life, encouraging them to be brave, joyful, and truthful. He said the seminarians who have come to Rome for the Jubilee are not only pilgrims, but witnesses of hope who feel the flame of hope in the life of the Church. Christopher Welsh reports.
In his meditation for seminarians, Pope Leo emphasized the importance of a formation centered on the heart and of learning to love as Jesus loved.
Abbiamo bisogno di imparare ad amare e di farlo come Gesù.
This must be done through the development of the interior life, he said, which is the first work of discernment and involves returning to the heart, where we find traces of God and where God speaks to us. Pope Leo said that formation of the interior life involves recognizing the deepest sentiments of the heart, which help you to discover the direction of your life. He noted that the privileged path that leads to interiority is prayer, because without an encounter with God, we cannot truly know ourselves. He invited the seminarians to invoke the Holy Spirit frequently.
Vi invito a invocare frequentemente lo Spirito Santo.
So that he may shape in you a docile heart, capable of perceiving God's presence in nature, art, literature, music, and science. Above all, Pope Leo said, learn how to listen, as Jesus did, to the often silent cry of the little ones, of the poor and the oppressed, and of the very many people, especially young people, who are searching for meaning in their lives. Finally, Pope Leo invited seminarians to be meek and humble of heart, as Jesus was, and like St. Paul, to adopt the sentiments of Christ in order to grow in human maturity and to reject all pretense and hypocrisy. The task of seminarians, the Pope said in conclusion, is to never settle for less, never be satisfied, not be passive recipients, but to be passionate about the priestly life, living in the present, and looking to the future with a prophetic heart. Before leading the seminarians in the proclamation of the Nicene Creed, Pope Leo expressed his hope that they might deepen their relationship with Christ, asking him to make their hearts like Jesus's Sacred Heart, which beats with love for each of you and for all humanity.
Quel cuore che palpita d'amore per voi e per tutta l'umanità.
I'm Christopher Wells.
As part of the Jubilee of Seminarians and Priests, the Dicastery for the Clergy will on Thursday, June the 26th, host an event to foster encounter, reflection and sharing under the theme, I Have Called You Friends. Thursday's event, which Pope Leo will attend, is dedicated to all those engaged in vocational ministry and the formation of seminarians. It will take place from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the auditorium on Via della Conciliazione near the Vatican. The encounter opens with a moment of prayer and a welcome address from Cardinal Lazaro Hung Yung Sik, Prefect of the Dicastery for the Clergy. The first session will feature 5 significant examples of vocational ministry from around the world, providing a global perspective on best practices. The second part of the gathering will focus on 5 exemplary models in initial seminary formation, including those from Africa. Pope Leo XIV has sent a message to the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, thanking its members for their concrete witness to God's love. In the message on the occasion of the solemnity of St. John the Baptist, the Holy Father underscores the need to foster prayer and appropriate formation. In Kenya, with a major protest march planned for June the 25th to mark the anniversary of last year's deadly demonstrations over tax increases, two senior Catholic leaders are calling for calm and dialogue. Speaking to reporters in Nairobi on Sunday, Archbishop Anthony Muheria of Nyeri, who is also the Vice President of the Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops, and Nairobi's Archbishop Philip Anyolo made a passionate appeal to both the government and the country's youth. They urged President William Ruto to listen to the frustrations of Kenya's younger generation. The bishop's primary concern is the sanctity of life. Here is Archbishop Muheria.
It doesn't matter what you hold to be your goals. The most prior goal is human life, protection of human life. The most prior goal is to uplift the real needy, the poor and miserable. And above all, to accommodate, to listen.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Over 40 people, including children and healthcare workers, were killed in an attack on a hospital in Sudan at the weekend, the head of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, said on Tuesday. Saturday's attack on the Al Mujlad Hospital took place in West Kordofan, near the front line between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces, who have been fighting each other since the conflict broke out in April 2023. The World Health Organization Sudan office said that 6 children and 5 medics were killed in the attack, and they reported extensive damage to the facility. A human rights group, the Emergence Lawyers, has accused an army drone of striking the hospital on Saturday, but in a statement on Sunday put the death toll at 9. Kenyan prosecutors said on Monday they approved murder charges against 6 people, including 3 police officers, for their role in killing a political blogger. One of the police officers was the commander at the station where Albert Ojwang, a 31-year-old blogger and teacher, was held in Nairobi. Ojwang died earlier this month following his arrest as part of an investigation triggered by a complaint by the Deputy National Police Chief, Eliud Lagat, who had filed a formal complaint about allegedly false and malicious information published about him on social media. Police initially attributed Ojwang's death to suicide, but apologized after an autopsy found that his wounds were the result of assault. Ojwang's death prompted hundreds to protest police brutality over the past 2 weeks. Additional demonstrations are expected on Wednesday, which will also mark the 1-year anniversary of a mass protest that culminated in the storming of parliament and several deaths by police gunfire. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni will seek re-election for another term in pause due early next year in order to extend his nearly 4-decade rule, according to a senior official from the ruling party. Although he was widely expected to run for office again, it is the first confirmation from his National Resistance Army party. Uganda will hold its general election in January, in which voters will also elect lawmakers. 80-year-old Museveni has been in power since 1986 and is Africa's 4th longest ruling leader. Zambia hopes to start work on the Lobito Corridor Railway connecting its copper belt to Angola's Atlantic coast by the third quarter of 2026, Transport Minister Frank Tayali said as the project moves forward amid financing negotiations. The corridor, which will link Zambia's Chingola region to Angola's Benguela railway line at Luakano, is expected to span over 530 kilometers and serve as a key export route for copper and agricultural goods. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to Justice and Peace. In this edition, we focus on a place of pilgrimage in Rwanda known as Kibeho, which is found in the Catholic Diocese of Gikongoro. The place came to prominence in November 1981 following the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary to three young women students. The first apparition took place on 28th November and several others took place later. The visionaries reported receiving messages from the Blessed Virgin Mary and seeing a vision of a bloody conflict, which is believed to have foreshadowed the 1994 Rwandan genocide. After a careful investigation, the Catholic Church approved the apparitions of the three young women as authentic, identifying them as Our Lady of Kibeho. Today, over a million Catholics from different parts of the world make a pilgrimage to Kibeho every year to pray and seek healing for their health and for the ills of their societies. Father Kazimir Ruzindaza is a priest of the Catholic Diocese of Byumba in Rwanda. He has written a book on the apparitions of Kibeho. He gives the chronological order of their happening.
The first apparition was on November 28, 1981, to Alfonsina Mumreke, a young student at Kibeho High School. She saw a very beautiful young lady who introduced herself in the local language, Kinyarwanda, as Nyina wa Jambo, which means Mother of the Word. Due to her Christian background, Alfonsina immediately recognized her as the Blessed Virgin Mary. The phenomenon occurred several times in succession, and through her, the Virgin was asking everybody to convert, to keep faith, and to pray without hypocrisy. At a certain time, Alfonsine proposed to the Virgin Mary to appear to another student so that her story may be more credible. Later on, she appeared to Natalie Mukamazimaka on January 12, 1982, and let alone to Marie-Claire Mukangango on March 2, 1982. The Virgin Mary continued to appear to the three girls up to the end of 1983. From then on, she continued to appear to Alfonsine alone up to the last apparition of November 28, 1989, which Mary declared as the last apparition, bidding farewell to people all over the world. This date of November 28, 1989 is kept by the ecclesiastic authority as the time limit for the apparitions at Kibeho in Rwanda.
The most outstanding apparition was one that took place on August 15, 1982. Kindly tell us what happened on that day.
Slightly before the 15th August 1982, the Blessed Virgin Mary had appeared on 25th June 1982. As she used to do, she had given her next date of apparition to Alfonsina as 15th August 1982, which would be on her feast day of Assumption. Consequently, so many people received the news with much anticipation of miracles. Being the most advertised apparition so far, many people from within and from different countries were present at the estimation of 20,000 people. The Virgin Mary promptly fulfilled the appointment by 4 p.m. The first visionary was already in ecstasy, in dialogue with the Virgin Mary. She began with Natalie, followed by Alfonsine, and lastly with Marie-Claire. These apparitions went on from 4 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Natalie's narration goes as follows. We began the recitation of the rosary led by Alfonsina, and as we reached the third decade, I saw the Virgin Mary coming. She appeared differently from what we were used to. Her face was totally changed because of the sorrow she manifested. She looked terribly depressed, and drops of tears were falling from her eyes. Natalie asked the Virgin Mary why she was crying on her feast day. The Virgin Mary did not answer, but continued to pour more tears, which were dropping from her eyes and making Natalie also cry the more. When Natalie continued to ask the same question, at last the Virgin Mary in tears answered, "What makes me cry is the fact that you people, when I come to you and talk to you, you do not care and you turn your back on me." She went on to say, "I bring you good news, but you do not want to pay attention to it. I give you an important message, but you are indifferent and you do not want to receive it. Despite all my effort, more and more sins are being committed each day everywhere in the world. Instead of listening to my message, which would help decrease the sins being committed by men, people do not pay any attention at all." The Virgin Mary added on, "The world is in danger, and if you do not do something to reverse the situation, you are heading in a bottomless ditch, in an abyss. That is what pains me, because I do all to save you from falling in that ditch, but you do not listen to me. Make an extra effort, my daughter. Pray for the world, so that its sinful situation may change and the people may ask pardon and get forgiveness. How can I be happy when my children don't take me seriously when I warn them? How can I not cry seeing my children heading towards a ditch where they are going to fall and get lost? I have come to communicate to you a message, hoping that I would put you back on the right track. But you people, you cannot listen to me. Since I came to you, I have been suffering a lot to see where you are heading to, but I have been enduring all that with patience." In her later comment, Natalie said that the Virgin Mary was requiring an urgent action in a sense of true conversion of heart, because soon it would be too late. Natalie would repeat to people who listened to her the last words of the Virgin Mary's warning, "A time will come when you will want to pray, when you will want to repent, when you will want to obey and to pay attention to my warnings, but it will be too late for you. The time for prayer is now. Now begin to repent and follow my message and put in practice all that I am requesting of you."
The title of your book is The Fascinating Story of Kibeho, and its subtitle is Mary's Prophetic Tears in Rwanda. How prophetic were those tears?
In order to have a deep understanding of the tears of Our Lady of Kibeho, we may search the inspiration from St. Pope John Paul II, his homily on the tears of the Virgin Mary, delivered during the dedication of the Shrine of Our Lady of Tears in Syracuse, Sicily, on November 6, 1994. The Pope reflected on the significance of Mary's tears, describing them as signs of her maternal presence and concern in the world. He stated, "Mary's tears belong to the order of signs. They testify to the presence of the mother in the church and in the world. A mother cries when she sees her children threatened by some evil, be it spiritual or physical." The Pope further elaborated that these tears are expressions of sorrow for various human sufferings, including the rejection of God's love, family breakdowns, youth disorientation, violence here and there, and societal divisions. The Pope emphasized that Mary's tears are also prayers, interceding even for those who do not pray. What St. Pope John Paul II said about Our Lady of Tears in Caesarea in Syracuse are a great importance in our meditation on the tears of Our Lady of Kibeho. It is the same person crying and crying practically for the same reason.
Father Kazimiri Ruzindaza speaking there from the town of Byumba in Rwanda. We shall host him again next Tuesday to give us more enlightenment about the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Kibeho and their relevance to the Catholic of today. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. This has been John Baptist Tumusime.
This is a sports roundup and a welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Kenya's Faith Chepngetich Kipyegon would like to make Paris her lucky place once again, where she is hoping to become the first woman to break the 4-minute barrier. This is in reference to the event taking place on June 26th at Charlie Stadium in the French capital. The arena is the same venue where the 3-time Olympic champion reset the women's 1,500-meter world record to 3 minutes 49.04 seconds during last year's Meeting de Paris Diamond League. The 20-year-old Kipyegon recently made a rare appearance at a virtual press conference after announcing her breaking 4 challenge in late April. Under the guidance of coach Patrick Sang, the same mentor who helped propel Kipchoge to global stardom, with just days to go before her historic attempt, Kipyegon said all she needs is composure, think positively and wait for next week and simply enjoy the day. There is some great news from Nigeria, where 12 para-power lifters have shattered world records. This happened at the open national trials that were held last week at the Mashud Abiola National Stadium in the capital, Abuja. Sports experts say that the new developments signal a new wave of dominance in the sport. The para-powerlifting is a strength sport for athletes with physical impairments, specifically focusing on the bench press. Athletes in that case compete in weight classes, and the goal is to lift the heaviest weight possible. It is a discipline within the Paralympic Games, testing upper body strength through the bench press, where athletes lie on a bench and lower a weighted barbell to their chest before pressing it back up. The 3-day event in Nigeria featured over 60 athletes from across the country and served as a platform to assess form and prepare for future international competitions. Meantime, news from Ghana says that Nations Football Club midfielder Kelvin Ampofu has been awarded the NASCO Ghana Premier League Player of the Month for the May-June season. The award follows his impressive performances throughout the period. Ampofu scored 3 goals in 5 league matches, including a standout brace against Legon Cities during match day 31. His contributions earned him 3 Man of the Match awards. Also, hats off, Oaks goalkeeper Benjamin Asare was honored as the best goalkeeper for May-June by the ex-National Goalkeepers Union. Asare's steady presence helped his team secure 13 points out of a possible 15, with 4 wins and 1 draw. Meantime, hats of Oaks head coach Abubakar Ouattara was named the NASCO Coach of the Month for May-June. Under his leadership, the Phobians achieved a remarkable record of 4 wins and 1 draw, scoring 7 goals while conceding just 1. This success propelled Hearts of Oak to 3rd place in the league standings with 58 points. It's now 3 decades since what is famously known as the Madiba Magic inspired South Africa to their seminal win over New Zealand in the 1995 Rugby World Cup final. A Springboks legend has predicted the side are on course for an unprecedented 3rd straight title at the next tournament in Australia. Mark Andrews was one of the pillars of that World Cup success on 24th June 1995, but even he would admit it was the towering presence of statesman Nelson Mandela that loomed the largest on the day. He has told the media that the political prison attained South African President Mandela was worthy putting their bodies on the line for because of what he had done. The final that was played at Johannesburg's Ellis Park was going to be about the survival of the fittest in the rare field, high-veiled air. The game was eventually settled in extra time by a drop goal from Springboks fly half Joel Stransky. As the hosts edged it 15-12, Years later, when speaking to All Blacks great Ian Jones, who also played in the final, Andrew recounted the theory that the fitter Springboks had outlasted the visitors. Jones, who shook his head, told Andrews why he thought South Africa won, and he explained that it was because these guys had 16 men on the field, adding that they had Nelson Mandela on their side. Mandela had spent 27 years in prison, but after his release in 1990, he played a crucial role in ensuring a smooth transition from apartheid to democracy and was elected president in 1994. His impact on the Springboks during the 1995 Rugby World Cup was immeasurable. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyamita Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, this message from the Holy See for this year's Peter Spence Collection.
One step at a time, Pope Leo XIV presents himself to the world.
Peace be with you all.
From that moment, his steps becomes our steps too.
I come to you as a brother who desires to be the servant of your faith and your joy.
With your donation to Peter Spence Collection, you support the steps of the Holy Father in a concrete way. Help him proclaim the gospel to the world and extend a hand to our brothers and sisters in need.
Brothers and sisters, this is the hour for love.
Support the steps of Pope Leo XIV. Donate to the Peter Spence Collection. Go to www.obolo.sanpietro.va.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.